Welcome to High Cheese. It's Friday, April 12th, 2024. And the big issue this week is the extension of FISA. And it appears that Mike Johnson is putting another nail in his coffin regarding extending FISA. Now, just a little history. FISA came into place, I think, in 1978. And it's kind of morphed through technology and through Congress looking the other way into the surveillance of the American people. Now the FBI and the DOJ, they say, well, we need to do it because we need to protect you. We need to surveil you in order to protect you. And it would have been a lot palatable if the American people had confidence in the FBI and the DOJ. And quite frankly, right now they don't. And it's been abused. Look what they did to Donald Trump. They spied on Donald Trump. Most recently, let's take a look at Tucker Carlson. They spied on Tucker Carlson when he announced that he was going to Russia to interview Putin. And right now, there's two issues that are being taken up inside the Republican Party. One is to require warrants in order to spy on American people. And two, whether to get rid of FISA. Now, as we know it, what FISA is allowed to surveil non-American citizens. But if the people they're surveilling, these non-citizen people, talk to an American citizen, they can start spying on that American citizen. It opens the door for all their surveillance of American citizens. And again, we have no confidence that they're going to do the right thing, because they haven't. So many of the Republicans, they want the DOJ and the FBI to get a warrant if they start spying on an American citizen. And with that said, I want to go to a clip with Marjorie Taylor Greene. She was interviewed earlier this week. She points out a number of things. So let's go to this clip and then we'll come back and discuss.
Conference. Mike Johnson does not have the support of the conference. He's in there urging members to reauthorize FISA. And I don't think he has the votes for it right now, is what I'm gathering. We're going to be working on this. We do not believe in warrantless spying on the American people, especially when this bill carves out the ability for Congress to be notified when a member of Congress is going to be looked at through the FISA court. That's completely unfair. The same thing should apply for the American people. Yes, there's still a lot of conversations going on.
Are you considering voting against it?
Of course I'm considering going against it. I don't think it's fair for the FBI to be able to spy on the American people. And what's set up here, the explanation that we've been given, is all of the things laid out and penalties if the FBI were to warrantless spy on the American people. Except the same thing, it's like asking the deep state to hold itself accountable. The FBI has abused the American people's trust. The DOJ has abused the American people's trust. So this doesn't give me confidence that it will stop it.
And this really gets me. Green points out that there's a carve-out for members of Congress. So if a member of Congress is going to be surveilled, they're going to be warned by the FBI that they're under surveillance. But not you or me. You see how self-serving these people are in Washington? They're exempt from everything. But not you, not me. All it takes is some erroneous email or some erroneous conversation on a telephone with somebody that they think is a threat to the United States for them to start surveilling you. And you know how that's been abused. Again, I pointed out Donald Trump. I pointed out Tucker Carlson. And the FBI has come back. And so, well, we really need this. Chris Wray came out before Congress last week and said, we're in a very dangerous time. I'm sure that was coordinated. And like I said before, we've lost confidence in the DOJ. We've lost confidence in the FBI to do the right thing. And Green points out, well, the FBI and the DOJ under this new regulation, they're going to be self-monitoring. Oh, yeah, we believe that. And what really gets me is that people out there talking about, Trump doesn't want to follow the Constitution. Well, cornerstone of the Constitution are warrants. But Washington, when they don't like the Constitution, they ignore it. And this is one of the ways they ignore the Constitution and the requirement of warrants to go after the American people. Now, Green also mentioned, and I think she came out earlier this morning and said that she's going to vote against FISA. And she points out that FISA didn't stop 9/11. And all we've heard is about the abuses of FISA. And we're not going to let the deep state self-regulate. Now, there's also a faction in the Republican Party, and I think it's headed by Chip Roy. They just want the warrant. They're willing to extend FISA, but they want the requirement of a warrant. If you're going to surveil an American citizen, you have to get a warrant. And the deep state doesn't want that. He also points out that they want to extend it from 2 years to 5 years, which apparently is a no-go for Chip Roy. But it's just disappointing that Speaker Johnson would put something like this on the floor or potentially put this on as something to vote on. Oh, and by the way, Donald Trump has come out and said he wants them to get rid of FISA. And you can understand, look what they did to him. Look what the surveillance state did to Donald Trump. And this just in. The House passed a warrantless FISA extension. 126 Republicans voted yes for this warrantless FISA extension, as well as a carve-out for themselves. So the final vote was 273-147. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Chip Roy did not vote for it. If there's any upside, it was originally extended for 5 years, but the final vote extended it for 2 years. So the surveillance state continues, at least for 2 more years. But this does not bode well for Speaker Johnson. Now, I've always said he's not long for the course. He probably realizes that too. Maybe he doesn't care. So we shall see. Now, the next problem for Speaker Johnson is the Ukraine package. Now, there's a rumor going around that he wants to put a package on the floor for Ukraine with nothing for our own border. And that's a real problem. Another $60 billion he wants to put together for Ukraine's border with nothing for our own border. Isn't that nice? And this is just bad policy. Another $60 billion with no end game over there. Just a continued churning of these poor Ukrainian people that are getting killed. And Johnson wants to fund it with nothing for our own border. Now, we know that Ukraine is corrupt. We know that there are Nazis in Ukraine. And there's a consensus among most people that Ukraine is not winning the war. Russia controls over 20% of their country. It's on the offensive in some places. Ukraine's having another conscription. And they're lowering the age of the people they're allowing into the army now. Now, there's also rumors that they're sending amputees into the front line. Russia's army is just too big for this country, and they're grinding Ukraine down. But for some unknown reason, Washington wants to continue this war with no benefit for the United States. There is no vital interest that the United States has in a border skirmish between Russia and Ukraine. It's a corrupt country. You elevate the probability of us going to war with Russia directly. Nuclear war, by the way. And all we hear from those in Washington, oh, we have to protect democracy. That's a vital interest? We have to protect democracy in another country when we have our own problems with democracy in this country? That's not enough to get into a nuclear war with Russia. Not enough for me, at least. And then how do we pay for it? More borrowed money. Let's add some more money into the inflationary pot. Yeah, let's give it to Ukraine. Yeah, let's fund their government. Let's fund their pensions. Let's fund the killing of their people. Now, I've also read that we're thinking about paying off their debt. Now, there was a moratorium on Ukraine paying off their debt when the war started. But now there's talk about United States paying their debt. We have a $34 trillion debt in this country, and we're thinking about paying their debt too. And if there's anything that highlights the agenda of Washington over the American people, is this Ukraine funding. There's no end game. Massive amounts of Ukrainians are getting killed. We're protecting a corrupt country. All for what? I also hear that Johnson is considering stealing Russian reserves and giving it to Ukraine in order to pay for their war. Now, what happens is a lot of central banks throughout the world, they keep treasuries, U.S. treasuries in reserve. And they're located in various banks throughout the world where the West can control them and freeze them. And now they have frozen these assets. But now Johnson is considering taking those assets and giving them to Ukraine. And I think there's well over $100 billion in these assets. Now, there's a potential risk here. And what the potential risk here is that it further diminishes the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency. And I'll tell you why. Here's why. Now, there's many, many countries, many, many central banks that keep these reserves. They keep treasuries, U.S. treasuries in reserves in various bank accounts throughout the world. Now, these countries are going to say to themselves, well, wait a second. If they can do it to Russia, they can do it to me too. So if the United States doesn't like what I'm doing, even though they're maybe an ally today, but say down the road the United States doesn't like what I'm doing, they can freeze their reserves. In a mini scale, think of what Trudeau did to the truckers. Freeze their assets. And these other countries are saying to themselves, well, they can do that to me. They can freeze my assets that I have in various bank accounts throughout the world. And it's no coincidence that you're seeing many central banks, particularly in China and Southeast Asia, they're buying gold. That's one of the reasons you've seen a run-up in gold over the past month or two. These central banks are saying, hey, I'm not going to expose myself to the whims of the United States. I'm not going to buy treasuries and put them in bank accounts that could be frozen by the United States if they want to. I'm going to buy gold. They can't touch that. And what this does, it undermines the United States dollar as the reserve currency. Now, it's not going to cause for the collapse of the dollar as the reserve currency, but it's another chink in the armor. It's the slow destruction of the U.S. dollar. We're already seeing this internally with our own internal rate of inflation, how the dollar has been kneecapped. And this is going to affect the dollar on the international level, which eventually will affect us also. So this doesn't bode well for Speaker Johnson. And again, Johnson's a Christian. We don't doubt that. But it doesn't mean you're strong, and it doesn't mean you do the right thing. So we shall see. So inflation figures came out this week. And the CPI was up. It was up more than expected. And it was funny to listen to these talking heads on Bloomberg. They were having a little panic attack when these numbers came out. These so-called experts. Remember years ago? Oh, inflation was transitory. That's not the case. Here's a quote from Mark Zandi, the chief economist at Moody's Analytics. He said that disinflation has stalled out. And I want to link this to immigration, this illegal immigration that's going on. Now, the mainstream media is trying to spin this massive influx of illegal immigrants as a good thing for the economy. It's good for the economy. They're filling the jobs that Americans don't want. Well, if you paid a little more, maybe Americans would take them. And I go back to Tyson Food. They're hiring illegals at $16.50 an hour. And the reason they're paying $16.50 an hour is because the illegals will take that price. These are hard jobs working in poultry factories. And these companies are trying to cut costs because, Oh, Americans aren't going to take $16.50 an hour? We'll give it, we'll bring in all these illegal migrants and they'll take them. But that's not the story. Part of the reason that you're seeing inflation here is because of illegal immigration. There's two things going on. Let's look at food, for example. Food costs have gone up tremendously under the Biden administration. And part of that is because of these illegal immigrants that have come to this country. You have to feed 11 million people that have come into this country illegally. So because of the laws of supply and demand, they have to eat. You're creating more demand for food. And prices go up. And the double whammy is you're paying for it with borrowed money, which further increases inflation, which further increases the cost for food producers. But they don't want you to know that. Let's go to some of the detail on the CPI report this week. Roast beef is up 11.2%. Baby formula up 9.9%. Hot dogs up 6.2%. Lettuce up 5.8%. Tomatoes up 4.5%. Sugar's up 4.3%. Canned vegetables up 3.3%. Chicken up 3%. Motor vehicle insurance up 22.2%. Repair of household items up 18%. And this is year over year. And this is on top of the 9.1% increase in inflation that we saw in 2022. Vet service up 9%. Garbage and trash collection up 5.8%. Tolls up 5.3%. Liquor up 5%. Personal care products up 4.8%. And you notice that Biden's really not talking about Bidenomics right now. Because he can't justify it at any level. And I want to take us to an article from CNBC. And it shows us how the American people are struggling in this high inflation environment. And the headline says, mortgage refinance demand surges even as rates cross back over 7%. Says applications to refinance a home jumped 10% from the week before and were 4% higher than the same week 1 year ago. And one of the reasons you're seeing this refinancing of mortgages is people need the extra cash to pay their bills. So they're refinancing into a higher interest rate for two reasons. One is to take some equity out of their home so they can pay their bills. And two, it could reduce their monthly payment for their mortgage, even though they're going into this with a higher interest rate. Usually, under normal circumstances, people refinance when the rates are lower. But people today are so strapped for cash that they're refinancing at a higher mortgage rate. And the mainstream media wants to give you every excuse. Wow, it couldn't be that. Oh, yes, it is. This is the reality of America that we live in today. People are forced to refinance their homes at higher interest rates just to pay the bills. So we shall see. Now, I've been covering a lot about the news that's been coming out of Europe regarding hormonal therapy for children that want to transition. And quite frankly, they're questioning it. They're questioning whether it's the right thing to do. They're questioning whether there is valid science behind providing hormonal therapies to children. The ethics behind it, whether it works. And let me go to an article here, and this is from The Guardian. And The Guardian is no conservative newspaper. And this is from England. And the headline says, Gender Medicine Built on Shaky Foundations, the CAS Review finds. Analysis finds most research underpinning clinical guidelines, hormone treatments, and puberty blockers to be low quality. So these people that are pushing these agendas, they love to say that the science says so. You got to follow the science. Well, this CAS report comes out and says, you know what? It's not quite science what they're pushing. The foundations of their positions on giving children puberty blockers are weak at best. So it says here, the head of the world's largest review into children's care has said that gender medicine is built on shaky foundations. Dr. Hilary Cass, the pediatrician commissioned to conduct a review of the services provided by the NHS to children and young people questioning their gender identity, said that while doctors tended to be cautious in implementing new findings in emerging areas of medicine, it was quite the reverse that happened in the field of gender care for children. So essentially, she said, yep, the medical community jumped right into this without really studying it, without really having good research on what these hormones are doing to children. And again, it all has to do with the politicization of medicine. There's money to be made by these doctors. They have their own political agenda. And they use this quasi-science to push their agenda. And it's interesting how this is all coming out of Europe. It's not coming out of here. And I got a sense that we're not going to see a lot of it here coming out of from American researchers. Because they're using children here as guinea pigs. And quite frankly, if people don't stand up and say, you got to stop this, particularly at these school board meetings, there's just too much scientific evidence out there today that says that we don't know enough in order to move forward on this. And if we do, we're treating our kids as nothing more than guinea pigs. So we shall see. Well, thank you very much for listening. You have a good week, and I will talk to you next Saturday.